That is some good music, Agnes. We are back this Saturday morning. We're on segment two, Investor IQ. My name is Glenn Wessel, your host. Prior to the break, we were discussing the importance of understanding the concept of duration, especially if you are considering taking a position in a mutual fund that invests in bonds or investing in bonds directly. One thing I might have mentioned before the break is that any time you're interested in making such an investment, you can find the duration statistic typically in the website of the fund, or if you're dealing with a broker, that broker should easily be able to tell you what the duration of the unit investment trust or bond fund or exchange-traded fund. That figure should always be published because it is so extremely important. Before the break, we were talking about that when interest rates are expected to fall, we would invest typically in longer-term bonds because they would go up in price. And if interest rates are expected to rise, we would invest in shorter-term bonds because they would decline in price much less substantially. Let's give an example for how duration works. Assume that you're going to purchase a bond for $1,000 that matures in 20 years, and that bond pays 3%. Assume, for argument's sake, that the moment after you purchase that bond, the general level of interest rates goes to 4%. So what do you have? You have an inferior bond. If you were to want to sell that bond to someone else, no one else would want to buy it from you because that person would buy a new bond that paid 4%. However, just like how you would sell a junky car, you discount the price enough until the buyers come alive. So there is some amount of discount that will make a buyer indifferent as to whether or not that person buys your bond at 3% or a new bond at 4%. The mathematical figure that is relevant is the statistical notion of duration. So if you have a bond that has a duration of, let's say, 20 years, a 1% increase in the general level of interest rates might generally equate to a 20% decline in the value of that bond. So if you're holding a AAA Treasury bond that's 20 years in maturity, it doesn't matter at all that that's AAA rated. A 1% rise in interest rates on a bond that has a duration of 20 years, you can expect a market value decline of 20%. If interest rates were to fall by 1%, then you would expect approximately a 20% increase. The truth is it doesn't exactly work out like that because there's another something or other called convexity, which is a mathematical term that is just way beyond this show. But for general investment purposes, if you understand the concept of duration, you'll be pretty well fixed in terms of understanding the interest rate risk that you're facing when you buy a bond. So let's take a look at some of the aspects that are going on in the current marketplace with respect to the interest rate scenario. I'm going to kind of turn things over to Rob a little bit and get him to talk a little bit about some of the adjustments that we've made to our clients' portfolios over the last couple of weeks. The first thing is the fiscal deficits that we've been running for years. What is the implication for bond investors in terms of interest rates?
Sure. So as the government tends to run a fiscal deficit, you would expect that over time that would mean that interest rates would go up since there's an effect called the crowding out effect that tends to mean that government spending and government deficits would crowd out the private investors since they're having to raise debt to fund that.
That's right. So essentially, the government, as it tries to borrow more and more money, it's competing with you and me and other businesses in the country for funds, and essentially the rates get jacked up. But since the government is the preferred borrower because it can print its own money, the rates that we pay are always going to be higher than whatever the government rate is. So as the government is driving up the interest rates, it forces the interest rates for everyone else up as well to an even higher rate. So people get crowded out. Right. So that is something that portends an increase in interest rates because the government has to finance its debt. The Federal Reserve just met, where are we? Today we're recording the show on Thursday, and I think the Fed met earlier this week and decided to leave its short-term interest rate target stagnant or constant at 0.25%. Explain a little bit of what that means to investors, Rob.
Sure. So if the Fed's trying to keep the short-term interest rates is what they have control over with the fiscal with the Fed funds rate. If they're keeping those rates low, over time that might tend to lead to inflation in the market, where the prices of goods would go up since it's cheap money in the market and you're chasing fewer goods with more money.
That's right. So as the Fed keeps the Fed funds rate low, which is the rate at which banks lend and borrow to one another overnight or for 3 months or 1 month, they're actually keeping a lot of money in the economy. That's how they keep the interest rates low. So if you have too many dollars chasing too few goods, you end up with inflation. Why are we sitting here worried about general level of interest rates rising?
Because the Fed doesn't have control over the longer term bonds in the market. They can only control the short term part of the yield curve. So that means that longer term bonds would tend to increase even more, and the interest rates on those would tend to increase.
Right, because of all the money sloshing around in the economy, it tends to create an inflation expectation, which tends to further jack up longer-term interest rates. That pretty well takes us to the end of this segment. When we get back, we're going to discuss some of the things that we're doing with our portfolios that you might consider doing as well if you share some of our same concerns. Check out our podcasts on WWNC. There are all kinds of interesting things labeled by topic that you could listen to, revisit previous broadcasts here. My name is Glenn Wessel. This is Investor IQ, where we try to give investors a fair shake. We'll be back in just a moment.